This is Jordan, and you're listening to the Code 7 Podcast Network.
Warning. This episode contains the three A's of podcasting: adult content, adult language, and awesomeness. You've been warned.
Imagine taking your nephew to an event because his parents are out celebrating. As you're driving, a truck comes out of nowhere and hits you. You roll. Now imagine you're 911, taking a call for an accident. The vehicle has rolled over and the child was ejected. This is what it's like within the trenches. In this episode, you will hear stories from the IM911 movement, a movement I started to fight the reclassification of dispatchers from clerical to protective, to bring awareness to the types of calls the 911 dispatchers answer on a daily basis. This is a live audience episode, and we are recording live from Cherokee, North Carolina, for the 2018 North Carolina Communications Conference. Now, you heard the warning at the beginning, but I must warn you again and add that if you suffer from PTSD or have suicidal tendencies, you are listening at your own risk. The stories you're about to hear are all true and come from the dispatchers who live them. While some stories have a good outcome, the majority are horrifying. This is our reality. Your worst day is our everyday. So let's start with a bang. I want you to imagine each story, become the dispatcher who's taken each call, and imagine listening. 12:13:15 at 17:57 hours. That date and time will forever haunt me. It was your mom's birthday. Your dad took her out to dinner. You were with your aunt, going to a live nativity at your church. You were only two when a truck hit your aunt's car. As it turned, you were thrown from the vehicle. I cried in my car, talking to my two-year-old on the way home that night. Christmas has forever changed for me. Every Christmas, I watch my little girl get excited for Santa. I think about you and how you would be the same age. I still have your picture in my phone. I look at it often. I will never forget you.
I was a relatively new telecommunicator. I was on night shift. I have a fire EMS background in the field. The first call came in, and it was a civil issue between neighbors. I didn't answer that one. Later that evening, over 10 years ago, the event that changed me began to unfold. I quickly realized the small civil issue has now become a hostage situation. The shooter shot, but didn't kill three people, one by one. I was dispatching EMS. I was scared, things got busy, and I answered the 911 line next. The voice was young, the address was the hostage situation, the shooter's next victim was now on the line with me. This victim was the same age as my son, a teenager. Trying to get your location in the building, I asked several questions. The shooter's voice, angry and yelling in the background. Your young, quivering voice said, "I am scared. I had to hold it together for you. I thought, what would I want the telecommunicator to do if this was my son?" The shooter wouldn't get on the phone. The shooter had done everything he had told us he would do the previous call, which was shoot your family. My mind is racing. You're scared. My heart is racing. Then I broke protocol and told you. I knew you were scared. I told you that I needed you to pray and that I would pray. That seemed to comfort you. I had a feeling I needed to vomit. Then the shooter yelled, "I'm going to shoot him in the head. I'm going to shoot him now." The shooter hung up the phone. I prayed. The officers on the scene said they heard a single shot from the building. I knew it was you. I had to get someone to take my radio. I walked outside the room and sat down and I prayed and prayed. When I quit crying, I pulled it together and went back inside. The shooter had indeed done exactly what he said he would. They then rushed you to a trauma center. The shooter lost his life that night. I later learned you were shot in the head at close range. I didn't know who you were. Fast forward, watching the local news years later, I hear your name on the news. They were doing a story on you and all you had overcome, and you're graduating from high school. You still don't know me, but I know your friends. I ask them every year how you were and how you and that you were good. I am 911.
I answered your call that night when you found your son hanging in the closet. He was only 17. I still hear your screams. I still think about that call often. I am 911.
I'm the voice that took the call from your hostage. I am the voice who eventually convinced you to put your gun down to walk out peacefully. Your actions that night were not out of violent intent, but instead the result of an extremely frightening reaction to a newly prescribed medication from your doctor. I am 911.
Before I read this next story, does anyone have a story that they would like to share?
I got one here, Ricardo.
Okay.
All right, this will be rough, so give me a couple minutes, okay? I haven't done this before.
Is there a special way I can do this or just do it?
All right, I'll just do it. So early in my career, I took a phone call from a mother. Backstory is they bought a brand new refrigerator for their house, and their little girl got the box and made a little playhouse out of it. Cut the door out, cut some windows out with shutters. Mom went to go check on the daughter. She was playing. She was cold on the outside. She walked down the hallway to go full close. About 15 minutes later, she didn't hear the daughter anymore. And she walked into that room to check on the daughter when she saw all she saw was her daughter's head hanging in the shutters that was just made. And she had hung herself by accident trying to crawl out the window. So I took that call and proceeded to have the mother take the daughter out of inside the box. After she had all loss of all muscle movement and the inside was completely disgusting, they brought her small daughter out, and all I could hear was listen to her cry and ask for help. I worked CPR on that girl for approximately 20 to 25 minutes until someone else came in, and they worked her another hour out in the ambulance before they left for the hospital, and she didn't make it. One of the worst calls of my almost 19-year career. And I hope I never get another one just like that. That's my story.
Thank you for sharing.
I've been a dispatcher for 24 years, and about 5 years ago, I took a call that haunts me every day. I answered the phone, and it was a screaming little boy, and all he was doing was screaming. When I asked him what his address was, he said, home. And our rebid showed his exact location. When I finally got the words out of him, he said that his father was choking his mother and he had went outside the house. Well, at this time, the dad realized he was on 911 and chased him across the yard. So as he's still screaming, I'm trying to calm him down and telling him to hide. At this time, the dad gets in the van and starts to leave. The little boy says, oh my gosh, he's taking my mom. Where's he taking my mom? He was choking her. Well, you could hear the tires. You could hear the gravel spinning. The little boy was still screaming, don't take my mama. And finally, I knew the mom was gone. I knew the threat was gone. So I asked him, trying to calm him down, do you have any brothers or sisters? And it calmed him down enough for it to tell me that there were two children in the house. So he goes in the house, and you could hear the change from outside to inside. And he started looking for his little brothers. He found them. They were 2 and 3, but they were okay. And of a sudden, he says, oh my gosh, Mama. Mama went and took my daddy. Mama was laying in the floor. And she was blue. She was turning gray. I thought my heart was going to stop, but I managed to try to tell this little 7-year-old little boy how to do CPR on his mom. And thankfully, law enforcement got there before he actually had to proceed with CPR. But his mother died, and I think of him every day, and it haunts me to this day. And that's my story.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing. I answered your 911 call the day that both of your younger brothers were shot in a freak hunting accident. You begged me to save your little brother. I talked you through CPR instructions to try and save your brother's life, knowing he was already too late to save him. He was already gone. I still hear your voice crying and begging me to save your brother. I will never forget this call or your voice. I am 911.
You know, our center took a call in February of this year, and it was a team effort. It was heavy snow, temperatures were in the teens, and one of our volunteer fire chiefs works part-time for a towboat company. He was towed a boat in those kind of conditions, and his boat swamped. We had very hard time locating. The call was from the boat that was being towed. We weren't able to get an accurate location to start with, and eventually we did. But we knew he only had a matter of short period of time to save his life. And he was last seen in the water, with a life jacket on, but we just couldn't, it was dark, 2 o'clock in the morning. It was just a bad situation. So that's my tough stories, a personal friend, somebody we couldn't find, an emergency service worker, and we did everything we could, but we couldn't save them. That's a team 911 story.
Thank you.
It was summer of 2007, and we got a call from one of the state parks in our area. And a Hispanic family had been hiking in Chimney Rock, and the mother had put the travel backpack on the wrong way. And when they got to the top, she turned and the 2-year-old fell off the rock and fell over 50 feet. And I had to be on the phone with the officer to relay, because she did not speak English, that they had found her 2-year-old son deceased, and I can still hear those screams from her.
Thank you.
I've got one I'm going to read real quick. You call in a very cold January morning. You were terrified. Your husband with Alzheimer's was stabbing you. He was confused and didn't understand why you had blood on you. You locked yourself in the car in your garage. You were bleeding and freezing. PD found you just before you passed out from the blood loss. You had lived, but your husband died 1 week later after being placed in a nursing home. You called to thank me for saving your life. I am 911.
I am the voice that dispatched the officer to your house. I heard the officer's voice when he found your 3-year-old body frozen to death in the front porch of your mother's house. I will always remember the sound of the officer's voice. I am 911.
In 2006, I was working the console. I remember taking a call from a 15-year-old young man. He was going through some issues with his family, and he wanted to end it all. I talked with him. We rebid. Found out his location. I dispatched a deputy. The doors were locked. The deputy walked around the house, looking in windows, and swore up and down to me that there was no one home. I told him that I knew the child was in the house. He knocked on the door, and the young man said, "Who is that?" I said, "There's a deputy there. He's there to talk to you, to see if he can help you." The next thing I hear is click. The deputy says, "I don't see anybody. No one's coming to the door." I said, "The phone has been disconnected." The deputy walked around the house again, got to a window where he saw the young man hanging. The deputies broke in, cut him down. He was transported to our local hospital and was able to get some help.
So here's my story from just this past Christmas. You called a few days before Christmas on a shift that I just happened to be working by myself. And what you didn't know is that Christmas is never a good time for me to begin with because of my own family things. When I answered the phone, your screaming scared me so much that I jumped out of my chair. It was the sound that hurt my soul, and I can still hear it to this day. It wasn't until your neighbor heard the commotion, came over to your house, took the phone, and started talking to me, and that was when I found out that your husband had shot himself in the chest and took his own life. I sent everyone to you as quickly as I could, but I knew that I wouldn't be able to save him. I drive past your house every day, as you are one of my neighbors. I wave to you when I'm out walking my dog, and you have no idea that every time I see you, I'm choking back the tears because all I can hear is your soul-wrenching screams. I'm sorry I couldn't help you more that night, and I pray for you every day.
Thank you.
I've been in dispatch for 4 years, and I was a new TC just under my first year, and we started our 12-hour shift on a Saturday morning. It was my first call for the day at about 6:30, and I got a mama who talked to me like I'm talking to y'all today and said, "I last checked on my son, who's 2 months old, at 3 o'clock this morning, and now he's not breathing." Being a new mother myself, my son was about 6 months old at that time, and I can only imagine as a mama you'd be in full-blown panic mode, not wanting to answer questions. I could hear her boyfriend in the background, I'm assuming high as a kite, saying CPR's not working. I had mama put fingers to chest for about 8 minutes until EMS and first responders arrived. I later found out at the debriefing that the EMS crew that was there didn't want to call it. They couldn't call that baby. Fire ended up calling a DOA on scene, and we had an active crime scene. I got up from my console after hearing DOA on the radio and went outside and threw up and cried and needed my son in my arms. CID got out there, and we later found out that mom and boyfriend had in fact shaken baby and killed him. Went to my debriefing, the only one that I've been to in my 4 years, and then a year later with the social media, I get a shared post on my private messenger. I'm reading the ME report, and it's my baby. The aunt had cycled around the report, so I didn't get to end it. I didn't get to back away from it. It got to play that 8 to 10 minutes from that 911 call with a mother who didn't care for a 3-year-old, or 2-month-old, excuse me. I am 911.
I was the one that had to hear shots fired across the radio. What was supposed to be a normal well-being check on you turned into a 7-hour standoff with your shooting at my deputies, my family. You will never know this. You'll never know the sound of grown men and women crying, begging for help. You will never know how helpless I felt knowing I had my coworkers pinned behind a vehicle and there was nothing I could do. You will never know the anger I felt watching you do all this and bragging on Facebook Live. All my officers made it home that night. You didn't. No matter how angry I was, and still am, I forgive you.
2 years today, just after 4 p.m., I received a call about a person with felony warrants, and my only officer that was available as a K-9 officer and I wouldn't send him alone. I knew what the guy looked like, but I could not confirm the warrants. And later that night, my friend was shot and killed. And I knew what he looked like. And every day I say a prayer for my officers. My K-9 officer left me for a little while to come back because he couldn't do it. People don't understand the bond. And we care about what we do. My officer was a Christian man. And he is in a lot better place than we are. But it does not make it easy or every day.
Thank you.
I know you guys can't see me. I'm pretty little, but hi. I was early in my police dispatch training when I took a 911 call when my trainer left the room. Someone else picked up my busy channel, and as I asked what's the address of their emergency, a female screamed, "Oh God, I don't have one. It's down a dirt road off one of our major roads." She told me she received texts from her strange husband all day, only to find him off this road. She was telling me they were having problems, and as she approached his vehicle, not knowing he shot himself in the head inside, she became hysterical after. I tried my best to calm her as I continued to ask her the location, as fire and police were having a hard time locating her down that road. I knew his name, her name, and the two babies he left behind. Her screams, her stories, all of them. Her blaming herself for ending it. If she didn't, he would still be alive. It wasn't till later, while I was watching a show on Netflix called The Next Great Baker, ran a note alerting viewers that Wesley passed away. It read, "In memoriam, Wesley, from 1982 to 2011, it read, TLC extends its deepest condolences to the Wesley family and friends. Sadly, he wasn't the last soldier I've taken. That was a suicide. After that call, my trainer came back with food, and I picked up the channel again, continuing my training. Hashtag IM911.
Thank you. I spoke to you on the radio all night until about 4:30 a.m. I sent you out to your last call in reference to a traffic crash on the highway involving a family in a van. There was zero visibility to a woods fire. I never thought for once that would be the last call I would dispatch you to. I kept calling your unit number for a status check after the 18-wheeler went through. I called your cell phone repeatedly, hoping you would answer until they found you. They located your badge first, then your cell phone. Then incident command came across the radio and told us you were Signal 4. You could have heard a pin drop in the room at that time. Each dispatcher began sobbing at their console, including myself. We couldn't believe it. We still had a shift to finish, so we held it together until the end. I always wondered if I could have helped you somehow, some way. I could have done things differently. My thoughts and prayers out to you and your family. Sam 375. A shift I will never forget. I am 911.
Imagine being the proud parent of a healthy 9-month-old baby girl who was tragically taken due to SIDS. After taking 2 weeks off to grieve, imagine the very first call you take and have to dispatch on 911 on your very first shift back as a 6-month-old girl SIDS patient. While tragic, I got to meet the parents of the SIDS call I helped dispatch for their child and grieve together instead of alone. I am 911.
I took what I thought would be yet another everyday call that puts you there that fateful day. I got the information you needed from his wife for you to serve her 50B and the warrants he had for assaulting her. You didn't have the warrant, but told two officers you would handle it because you were training a rookie. We were all kicked back in our chairs that Sunday afternoon and everything was going great. You checked on scene. I heard your rookie's scared voice screaming out for help to your dispatcher. Your dispatcher did everything she could and focused only on you, as she should. We advised all the departments to hold all traffic. We heard your rookie again yelling he too had been shot. He said you were down and you were taking, and he was still taking fire. The 911 phone stopped. Our hearts had already stopped, and I don't think we were breathing at this point, holding our breath, praying you both were okay. We had every unit on duty and off emergency traffic to you both. Two helicopters were coming. EMS and fire both standing by nearby. Fellow officers arrived and canceled one aircraft. We knew then what that meant. What could I have asked more to find out? That he was capable of taking your own service weapon from you and fatally shooting you twice. Your rookie was shot as well and never came back to patrol. You've been gone for a while now, but every time I answer that phone, I wonder what more do I need to ask? Every time I can't raise an officer on the radio, I wonder, are they okay? That fateful day, whether I knew it or not, would not only change my life, but so many others. The opposite day shift arrived to relieve us due to the situation. They had to tear us away from our consoles. We just couldn't get up and go. We didn't know exactly what was happening on scene. We needed to know. It was 3 days later we were able to see your shift mates. We cried together over the loss of you and the terror we all went through. You were taken too soon. #IAM911.
It was during Hurricane Matthew, and your car got trapped in floodwaters. You had left your home to go pick up your wife from her job at the hospital, but you never made it. You called for help because you were scared and couldn't get out of your car. Unfortunately, help was unable to get to you in time. The line disconnected, and I was unable to get you back on the line. I later learned that your family reported you missing, and when the floodwaters rescinded, they found you down the road from your home, passed away in your car. IAM 911. I was training a new hire, and we took a call from my mother during her miscarriage. She began to tell me what was happening, and I flashed back to my own miscarriage because the incident was the same. I tried to hold my thoughts and voice together to make it through the call. When we got help to her, I broke down because I felt more than just the empathy I should have. Her life was forever changed, just like mine had been. Ben, I am 911.
I'm the voice that answered your call the night your father shot and killed your mother in front of you. You were only 7 and didn't know your address or phone number. To make matters worse, your call came to me as a transfer from out of county with no location information or callback number. We worked for over 10 minutes to figure out a possible address and configured it via real estate records and the name of your elementary school. You were sheltering in place in your bedroom and had hidden your younger siblings under your bed. As the deputies arrived, you pulled up the blinds to your bedroom window to flag down the deputy running up to your house, and you hesitated. I heard your father at your bedroom door attempting to make entry. I had to convince you to ignore the demand of your father to open the door as the deputy broke the window out to pull you and your siblings to safety. The last thing I heard over the line over a 20-minute call was the sound of a gunshot while your father killed him as your deputies were entering your house. You and your siblings were safe, but both your parents were gone. Later I learned a suicide note left by your father indicated he had intended to take your lives too. I'm 911.
I listened as you took your last breath. You ended cardiac arrest. You lost your life. I was the last voice you heard. IAM 911. I took your call when your 18-month-old had spiked a fever and was having a seizure. I tried to calm you while you kept checking to see if your son was still breathing. Your son never came out of the seizure, even once the paramedics arrived. I hope your son pulled through, and I think of you often.
I answered your call the night your 14-year-old son committed suicide. I was at first confused by your calm demeanor as you told me your son had blown his head off.
I offered to give you CPR instructions, knowing it would do no good as you described the scene. I was wanting so bad to help you and your son, but knew I could not. I was desperate and helpless. You told me you were a nurse. I guess at this time, I realized your medical training had kicked in to help you deal with the horrific event. I have never done EMD again. I hated that moment of helplessness. I've often wondered if you were able to grieve for your child when the reality set in. I hope you are well.
Hurricane Matthew 2016. The early morning during landfall of Hurricane Matthew, we sent out responders to ask citizens if they needed help getting out of the storm. Later on during the storm, you called back and yelling, "I know you came asking if we had needed help, and we said no, but now we do. Please come. I have called numerous times already and being told you guys were coming. Sir, if you don't come now, you will be the last person I speak with. The water is at my neck, and I'm standing on my kitchen table. I don't have anything higher to get on. Please help. Please help. I'm drowning alone. I am 911.
In 2011, while working as a supervisor, I took your call. I hear a female's voice telling me that they found your suicide note. She was scared. They were all scared. I got your name, date of birth, vehicle description, your description. In your note, you told us you would be by a golf course. I did a cell ping, got a location. You were not in my city. I called another agency, had them check the golf course. The PD found you. We were late. While I was waiting to hear if you were okay, I Googled you. You had a good job. I still ask. What went wrong? I am 911.
I was on the other end of the radio as your mic clipped, and all I heard was a struggle. As we got your location, I heard your screams for help as you were fighting with someone who had you on the ground reaching for your gun. Your screams stay with me every day. Hearing you plead for people to hurry broke my heart. I thank God every day that a civilian heard your screams as I felt so helpless. I am 911.
You'd went to town with your two kids, nothing out of the normal. You come home to find your husband, the father of those two kids, had hung himself in the open carport for all to see. Your screams, I will never forget. The officer got there. I ended the call. I went outside to get some fresh air. I come back into the center and continue to take calls. I'm 911. I want to thank all of you who are here in attendance, and especially those who shared stories. You know, for a long time, and still, even still, there's this stigma where if we're sharing a story, or if we're talking to somebody about what we do, or if we're asking for help, we're showing weakness. But that's not so, and we need to break that stigma. And that's what we're doing right now, sharing these stories, healing together, and finding some sort of closure among the safety of our peers, people that come from the same place we come from. So thank you. Thank you so much. A round of applause, please, for those who shared the story.
Those are just a few stories from Imagine Listening, an extension of the podcast featuring the stories of the I Am 911 movement. These are the stories, however, that come from the professionals of North Carolina. Thank you all once again for attending this session and for sharing your stories. I can't thank you enough for the love and support, for what you do, but more importantly, for being there for each other. It felt like family. It felt like home. And to listen is one thing, but to actually be there with everyone sharing and feeling and healing is a whole different level of understanding and knowing that you are not alone. Thank you. For those who are listening, if you have any comments, questions, or you want to be a guest on the show, you can email us, and that's wttpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter, that's @911podcast. You can like us on Facebook, facebook.com/withinthetrenchespodcast. And this episode, along with all the others, can be heard 24/7 on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, your favorite podcasting app, and withinthetrenches.net. Have a good one, everybody.